This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the Stinkin' Truth Podcast with Mark Schlereth.
Presented by Sweet Sweat.
Hey, welcome into the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Mike Evans, Mark Schlereth, Scott the Hub producing the show. I'd like to thank the fine folks over at Sweet Sweat for all your exercise and supplement needs. SweetSweat.com. Check them out. SweetSweat.com. Also, Superbook. We'll hook up with Jay Cornegay later in the program to go over our picks. And let me just start off right there. I'm the world's worst. If you just go, and we warned you, come playoff time, go opposite of Mike and I, and things are going to work out well for you. I am 2-8 against the spread. 2-8 against the spread. You are. I mean, I'm on the bottom, looking way up at you, and you're only 5-5.
I know. Mediocrity. Ruling with mediocrity.
At least you're me. I would take mediocrity right now. 2-8, Mike. 2-8. Well, I tell you what, I've been getting some bad beats.
Well, yeah, bad beats.
Bad beats.
So, I will give you this. Last week, you took the Chiefs minus 10. And there's no doubt in my mind that if Mahomes doesn't get hurt, they win that game comfortably.
Yeah. When he went out, they were up like 19-3 or 16-3 or something like that.
It felt like a game that was going to get away from Cleveland. But then he got hurt and everything changed. So, first of all, do you anticipate him playing this week? And if he does, which is expected, do you give the Bills much of a chance?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Do I anticipate him playing? Yes. The concussion thing, being in concussion protocol doesn't mean you were actually diagnosed with a concussion. And he was never actually diagnosed, or at least they didn't report a concussion. They never diagnosed him. He lost, you know, the function of he stood up and was, you know, wobbly-kneed, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, most of the time it indicates that you had some type of head trauma, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you had head trauma. But part of the new concussion protocol, and this happened a couple of years ago in a game I called in Houston, where, remember Tom Savage? Tom Savage got knocked, I mean, he got knocked the F out, and he went where you get that concussion paralysis, like where your arms get still, like, you know, and they put him back in the game. And so from that point forward, there was a big push. If you have some type of, either you have that kind of stiffness of a arm or extremity, or you lose the ability to stand and, you know, you get wobbly, they have to pull you out and put you in the concussion protocol. And so at that point, you're pretty much out of the game. That's the new protocol. So, like, the concussion stuff or the protocol stuff, he passed a couple of stages earlier in the week. That doesn't scare me. I think the foot is more problematic as far as he'll play with it. But I think the foot's more problematic than the concussion protocol. So I think he will play. But do I think the Buffalo Bills are a damn good team? Yeah, I do. And they're an interesting team because they're going to throw it. That's what they do. But they have the ability. I've seen them run the ball with efficiency. I've seen them do things, that would kind of – I think they're a more complete team than people give them credit for. And I think the only real missing link to me when it comes to them defensively that I think they don't do well, I don't think they have one guy up front that is a great like matchup nightmare where you have to turn protect. You have to have a plan. Like if you want to go 5 1-on-1s across the board and get in a 3-by-2 formation, you want to get in a 4-by-1 formation, you want to get in a spread empty formation, you're not really worried if you're Kansas City about, hey, we gotta find a way to block Ed Oliver, or we gotta find a way to block Hughes, or I just don't think there's anybody that really scares you from a 1-on-1 standpoint.
You know what's fascinating about this matchup is you have the benefit of looking back at a regular season matchup between these two teams, and what jumps out at you,
mm-hmm.
Kansas City won that game 26-17 in Buffalo. They won it with their ground game. Mahomes only threw it 26 times
mm-hmm.
for 225 yards and 2 touchdowns, but they ran the ball 46 times for 245 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 26 carries for 161 yards in that game.
Right.
So it was really a atypical type Chiefs performance. Do they go with that same kind of a game plan this week?
Yeah, this is the thing about the Chiefs that just intrigues me. Like, look at the first drive against Cleveland. First drive against Cleveland, I mean, they just ran the ball down their throats. Like, they have the ability to be multiple. And one of the things about Andy Reid that I think he's done a great job with them is they're constantly doing things from a formational standpoint, from a motion standpoint, just from a play standpoint that are unique. Every week there's something that's a little bit unique about what they do. And that, to me, is because they are so good, they're trying to guard against boredom. And so, like, the fact that they have done that, that that's in their past, that they can do that, they're one of the few teams that I've ever watched that I felt like, and I've never felt this way about anybody, not even the teams, you know, that I played for or that I played on. They're maybe the only team that I've ever felt really comfortable saying they have the ability to flip the switch. And I don't believe in flipping the switch. I don't believe that that's how you win. I don't believe that that's a long-term recipe for success. I don't. Yet they can do it. And it's that's amazing to me that they have that ability.
So Bills win this game if they do what?
Well, I think the Bills win this game if they can consistently produce on the offensive side of the ball in their passing game. And that comes down to me. Can you create big plays, and can you keep the chains moving? So one of the unique aspects of what the Bills do is they've got, you know, Cole Beasley on the inside, who is like a quarterback playing wide receiver. He's a guy that doesn't have a prescribed route, so to speak, or a route tree. Everything he does is kind of option route. So it's, do you see the exact same thing that the quarterback sees, and do you see leverage and coverage the way the quarterback sees it, and do you adjust your route accordingly the way the quarterback thinks you're going to adjust your route? And the answer to all those questions is yes. So I think he's a real key, especially on third down, Mike, of stopping Cole Beasley and making that third down target, making the quarterback get off of that. If they can stay on that, I think they've got great success rate. The other thing is they're going to get you into formation. Formationally, they're going to get you into, you know, 3-by-1 with a back or whatever it is. And what they're going to do is they're going to force you into situations where you've got 1-on-1 on the outside into the boundary to Stephon Diggs. And the thing about Stephon Diggs is this is 80s type of football is, you know, Josh Allen told me, point blank, that Stephon Diggs would drive most quarterbacks crazy because he's never exactly where he's supposed to be. Everything is kind of an adjustment route based on how he feels and how guys are covering him. But I've said this before. I've told you this before. It's not your ability to run fast. Everybody can run fast, right? Everybody, like, what the hell is the difference between a 4.38 and a 4.42? In the overall scheme of things, there's no difference. Like, it's the same damn thing, right? Maybe it's over the course of 40, 50 yards, maybe you got an extra, you know, yard of separation, whatever. How many routes actually get run at 40, 50 yards? And if you run a route at 40, 50 yards, there's a double move involved, and that's how you got open in the first place, right? So we make way too much out of just top-end speed. What separates Stephon Diggs is ability to stop, his short area quickness, his change of direction, Like, I had a coach this year tell me something that really resonated with me when it comes to wide receivers. She said, everybody can run fast. It's your ability to stop fast. That's what separates the great ones from the good ones. And I don't know that anybody stops faster or has more short area separation skill than Stephon Diggs. I think that's why he led the league in receiving yards, right? I mean, I think that's really why. And you watch him, so he'll adjust a route where he's supposed to run a 6-yard stick route and it'll be 9 yards or it'll be 4 yards, whatever. And Josh Allen has such arm talent that he can be a sight thrower. Like a lot of quarterbacks can't do that because they don't have enough arm talent to do it. So they've got to throw it on time. So you were around here in Denver when Peyton Manning, I'll never forget watching Peyton Manning run a drill, and he ran the show. I mean, Peyton Manning was in charge. Like, the coaches would just stand on the sidelines and just, like, watch him run the drill. And him getting after guys like Brandon Stokely, just, or
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas.
Eric Decker.
And he'd be like, mother effing dudes, when I tell you to run that outcut at 11, I don't want it at 12. I don't want it at 10 and a half. I want it at 11. Otherwise, because he relied on anticipation and timing, and he was throwing it to a spot before you got there.
Yep. Ball was already out of his hands.
Out of his hands.
Guys were turning out of their breaks, and here comes the ball.
And the ball is hitting him in the face mask.
Yep.
Where Josh Allen has such arm talent, he's like, you make your break wherever the hell you want to make your break, because I got the arm talent to get it there. There's only a handful of guys, Mike, over the course of it's the Aaron Rodgers, it's the Brett Favre, it is those guys that have that kind of arm talent that can be sight throwers and get away with it. Nobody, there's very few that actually have that ability.
So we'll make our picks against the spread a little bit later, but just picking to win. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I am too.
Okay.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
All right. How close or how big of a difference? We'll get to that a little bit later on. Without a doubt, Aaron Rodgers had his worst game of the season against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
In Tampa in October, a 38-10 loss.
Right.
He was 16 of 35 for 160 yards, 2 interceptions, one of which was a pick six. He was sacked 4 times. He had a quarterback rating of 35.4. Is that a preview of what's to come on Sunday? How do you flush that out of your system?
Well, I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers has had one of the great seasons of all time, and that was an outlier. And he threw 2 picks in that game that were, frankly, they weren't good throws. One, I think it was Mike Edwards is just basically playing robber, thief, whatever you want to call it. Rolling down a single high safety situation, playing the hook. Like he just basically robbed a inside route. The other was a timing route on an outcut by, I think, Davante Adams that they blitzed from the opposite side. And, and Jamel Dean just read it. Like, he knew what was coming. He knew you have X amount of time to throw it. And that's one of the things that Tampa does to you. They'll squat on routes and say, we're going to bring pressure. We're going to squat on these routes. We know that you have to get the ball out in a 5-step drop, without a hitch. And so we'll squat on these, assuming our blitz is going to get there. See, that's the thing about blitzing teams, Mike. And I've always said this. It's not so much picking up blitzes and understanding blitzes. It's the timing and execution of the blitz. Can you get to the quarterback essentially on your 4th step? So the great blitzers in the league have this innate ability to count their steps. They've got to get, like, if it takes you 6 steps to get the quarterback, you know what you're not going to get? To the quarterback. He's going to have the ball gone. So can you get there? If you're coming off the slot, can you affect the throw on your 4th step? Take your 4th step, bam, affect the throw. If you got to get 6, you're too late. Mm-hmm. So the blitz is a timing and execution thing. Timing the snap count and hitting a spot to where you can get to the quarterback to affect the quarterback. Tampa does it as well as anybody. I mean, Devin White, I've said it a million times, he plays with a rocket up his ass, man. He is, I've never seen a dude any more explosive, any more triggered than that dude. Their ability to bring pressure. Antoine Winfield Jr. is a freaking phenomenal three-level player. He can blitz from the edge. He can play coverage or linebacker. He can be a deep safety. Like, the guy has skill set. He can play man. Like, they've got guys that have that versatility to play all the positions. Murphy Bunting is a really good player. Jamel Dean, really fast, really good player. Carlton Davis is a guy that nobody really ever talks about that, it, to me, is one of the top cover corners in football. So they've got the ability to bring that pressure and create, you know, create plays on the back end. Now, here's the thing. If you can pick it up and if you can snap it, like change snap counts, if you can quick snap them so they don't get to the position to blitz, so they have to take that sixth step to get to a quarterback, then you can run your routes a little bit deeper and you can burn them. You can get big plays on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's going to be a chess match within a chess match between Aaron Rodgers and Todd Bowles, the defense coordinator for Tampa.
I know you love talking about all things Brady. Did you see this breakdown of what Brady's done since turning 37
in
compared to other great quarterbacks?
Yes.
Just a quick little say. This is in the playoffs since Brady turned 37 versus other quarterbacks and what they did in their entire
careers. Yes.
Since turning 37, Tom Brady has 14 playoff wins. He's 14-3 in the playoffs since turning age 37. Peyton Manning had a total of 14 playoff wins. Breeze, 9. Rodgers, 11. Roethlisberger, 13. Okay? Total touchdowns in the playoffs since turning 37. Brady, 37. All time for these other guys, Manning, 43. Breeze, 37. Rodgers, 46. Roethlisberger, 37. And ultimately, Super Bowls. Since turning 37, Brady has 4. Manning 4, Breeze 1, Rodgers 1, Roethlisberger 3, Super Bowl wins 3 for Brady, 2 for Manning, 1 for Breeze, 1 for Rodgers, 2 for Roethlisberger. This is just what he's done since turning 37. Stupid.
It is.
Just stupid.
It's why he's the world's greatest American.
Well, according to you.
I mean, it right there. It proves it. I mean, that's you've got proof right there. In print. Ridiculous, right? And here he is in the NFC Championship game again. It just is, not again. I mean, a championship game. This is the first time he's been in an NFC Championship game, but you know what I'm saying.
14 of the 19 years he started a full season in the NFL.
He's in a championship game.
You know, the thing about, and get ready, America. Get ready. Because Green Bay is your last hope standing in the way of what I'm about to say. Tampa Bay looks like a team that's putting it all together right now.
Right in the right
late
time,
speed, right? Yeah. Late speed.
Yeah.
If they win this week, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
And then Brady
wins again.
My question,
Green Bay is the only thing stopping them from another Brady Super Bowl. They'll win the Super Bowl if they win this week.
My question to you, Mike, what happened the other 5 years that he didn't play in a championship game?
Right?
What was he doing? Slacking?
Yeah.
Taking time off?
Who were the teams that who were the teams that got there those years? That's a good question. Well, it was last year.
Right.
There was a year that they didn't make the playoffs. 2002, I think. They missed the playoffs. Other than that, I think the Ravens picked them off once early.
Yeah, in a divisional game, I think they got
them. I think the Jets, with Sexy Rexy and Mark Sanchez, knocked them off early.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Kept them from the AFC Championship game.
What about the year the Ravens won the championship with Joe Flacco? That was the year they knocked them off.
They knocked
them
off early, yeah. Yep. And maybe the Colts did it 1 year. I'm reaching, but yeah, only 5 times.
Man.
All right, so who you got?
I think the Packers win.
Me too.
Just straight up Packers win.
Yes. Now, as far as how they do against the spread.
Yeah.
Got to turn to the expert.
All right, as promised, Jay Cornegay from Superbook, America's Best Bet, joining the program right now. Jay, It has not gone. Last week did not go well for me, Jay. I went 0-4 against the spread last week. Mike was a dominating 2-2. Right now we stand against the spread in the playoffs, although I did crush him in the regular season. But in the playoffs, where it really counts, the playoffs is where it counts, Jay. Mike is 5-5 in the playoff picks, right?
Yes.
And I am 2-8. 2-8. Could you imagine if you gone? I've been telling you to go opposite of what I pick all playoffs. You guys would have to close down. That's what would have to happen, Jay. You'd have to close down.
Well, I know. Looking at those records, I definitely want to see if Mark can get a Superbook account.
I'm serious. I mean, we joke, but literally, if you had just gone against us from the start this season. And just bet whatever we did opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd be crushing it right now.
Yeah, yeah,
crushing it.
And these are the.
I mean, Jay Cornegay would be putting you up in a suite with all the buffets you could possibly eat.
No, I'm telling you what, it just is. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. Jay, take mercy on me.
You'd be a whale. That's what you'd be. You'd be a whale.
Yeah, I know. Right? All right.
We have some pretty nice suites, guys.
That's
right. We really have some nice suites. And anybody that has a 2-8 record is always welcome. We just roll out the red carpet.
Well, see, I'm the guy you want to go to Vegas with, Mike.
I'm
the guy you want to go with.
There's a benefit to all this.
Yeah, you're gonna eat free when you go with me. All right. So here we go. We'll let Mike start it off. Go ahead, Mike. With the NFC Championship games, you've got the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then obviously you've got the Bills and Kansas City. So where are you going?
All right, I'm going to go with Green Bay. Boy, they looked really, really strong last week. They'll be playing at home. Brady won't be bothered by playing in the cold, although he is getting older. You know, maybe the blood's thinning out. He's been spending all that time in Tampa, but Aaron Rodgers just has been exceptional, and I think he also had the added benefit of. The thumping that Rodgers and the Packers took earlier this year. And I think that will help serve to be a huge motivating force. So I'm going to go with Green Bay to win and cover. Three and a half. I'll take Green Bay. And then in the AFC game, you have Kansas City with the assumption, of course, that Patrick Mahomes is playing. Boy, you saw, as much as I give credit to Kansas City for being able to gut out and really play a gritty football game after Mahomes went out. The thing I noticed was just the stark difference in Kansas City with Mahomes and without. If Mahomes doesn't get hurt in that game, I have no doubt that they win that game by 2 touchdowns, 15 points or more.
Yes.
So,
and then I'd be 1-3
then you'd be
opposed...
1-3 exactly.
Yeah, so, it was 0-4.
So I think as long as Mahomes is playing. Kansas City's is more than 3 points better, so I'll take the Chiefs.
All right, the Chiefs -3. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pick, and then we'll let you kind of discuss, Jay. So here's the deal. I'm going exact opposite of you because you suck, and I need all the help I can get to at least make this respectable. So I do like Tampa Bay. I like Tampa Bay's defense. I like the speed and athleticism with which they play. I like the fact that they blitz and they bait you into some throws. Aaron Rodgers threw 2 picks. I think he had 5 all season. He threw 2 against Tampa Bay. They have that ability. I don't know that they win, but I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm going Tampa Bay there, and I'm getting the 3.5. And then just, you know, for the sake of argument and trying to reel you in here, not that I can reel you in, but at least make it respectable, I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills getting the 3 points. So that's what I say, Jay. I suck, but that's the way it's going to go.
Well, I know you said you suck, and you said Mike sucks too.
Right. Yeah, Mike's not good either.
Yeah, I just suck. I just suck a little less.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll give you a mini sweet, Mike. Looking at this, you know, the first game, the Bucs at the Packers, we actually opened this game 4.5, and it was all Tampa Bay money. It came rolling in and drove the line all the way down to Packers -3, as you mentioned. Now we're back up to 3.5. It's really weird. This line is basically saying that these two teams are even, which I don't agree with. I agree with Mike. I like the Packers. They have a little bit of revenge factor as these two teams met in October. If you remember, it was a very similar game to what we just saw last weekend, where the Saints kind of, you know, built the lead, they blew it, and got blown out. Green Bay did the same thing against Tampa Bay in October in Tampa Bay. I think Green Bay was up about 10-0. Rodgers threw a couple of bad picks. Next thing you know, the Bucs roll them. But I think it's going to be different. One of the key factors in handicapping this game is the Bucs are doing that three-game road trip. And we all know about that fact. That is very, very difficult to win three straight games on the road. So Packers there. The other game, Bills at the Chiefs. Of course, this is all about Mahomes. If Mahomes isn't in there, we could be looking at the Bills like -4, -4.5, maybe even more. As you mentioned, the Chiefs are a totally different team when Mahomes isn't in there. I don't think he's going to be 100%, but I certainly believe he's going to play. We opened this game at 4. Mahomes got hurt. We reopened at 2.5, thinking that he was going to play. It's leaning that way. Now it's back up to 3. As people bet this game, they're all over the Bills. So that's 2 underdogs the public is on. This will probably be the first time in a long, long time, maybe ever, that the books are going to need the 2 favorites in the conference championship game. So this is going to be very interesting to see how the betting goes over the next couple of days.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about it earlier, but I really think that my bigger concern for Mahomes is his foot. You know, the concussion protocol, I think he'll clear the concussion protocol. He was never actually diagnosed with a concussion, so I don't know if that expedites him getting through concussion protocol. But the bottom line to me is the foot was more concerning than the head issues. So we'll see exactly how that plays out. But I'm with
Mark,
you guys. I think
it plays.
Is
that something that they would take a shot on, kind of numb it a little bit, or how do they treat that?
So let me just tell you from that position. So I played a whole playoff series when I was in Washington. I played against Atlanta. We beat them 24-7, I think. Then we played the NFC Championship was against Detroit. We beat them 40-something to 10 or something of that nature. And then we went to the Super Bowl and beat down the Bills. And I had a high ankle sprain, so I had my leg shot up for all 3 of those games. And my whole foot would go numb. And it really hard to play that way. I think for a quarterback, I think it's almost impossible because you have no feel of your feet, and your feet and your sets are so important. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one that for Mahomes, because if you numb up, if it's his foot or if it's his toe or if it's plantar fascia or whatever it is, your whole foot will go numb. And there's like, that's just one of those things that I just don't know that you can play that way as a quarterback.
Jay, let me forewarn you here, because this is the kind of stuff that Mark and I talk about. So Mark, I have had times where I have like sat on the toilet for about 25 minutes with a, you know, good magazine, and my foot's fallen asleep.
You're right.
And the just trying to get up and walk was impossible.
Right.
How in the world did you play football?
Well,
I mean, we've all been there.
One,
you know, the toilet asleep foot. I mean,
right? Yes, the toilet asleep foot.
Major affliction.
Yeah. What's worse is the toilet asleep hand. Then you're not sure what you're doing when you're cleaning yourself up. That's even worse. So you got to be careful with that.
I warned you, Jay.
Yeah, you've got to be very, very careful. You give me all of a sudden you roll around, and the next thing you know, your finger breaks
there.
Through the toilet paper,
stop
and then.
There.
Oh. All right, Jay. Listen, man, it's always
everybody knows there's a 6-minute limit on the toilet, okay?
6!
You can't read an article longer than 6 minutes.
Jeez. 6! Man, I'm just warming up by 6.
Really? You see, that's a problem, man. I'm in and out.
Oh, hey, that's my sanctuary. Listen, you got young kids. You're looking for a place to go to be able to have some alone time.
I got you. All right. Well, hey, listen, Jay, man, we really appreciate it. Hopefully I can make a comeback, because if I win, if I go 3-0 in the next 3 games, then we're tied. 5 wins apiece.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's what's got to happen.
If Mike goes over.
Mike's got to go over.
Yeah.
Mike can do it. I've seen him go over before.
Hey, don't put it past me.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Listen, all the best to you. Thank you so much. We'll check back in with you next week.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Jay Cornegay from Superbook, America's best bet. Like to thank Superbook for being one of the sponsors to the show. Also like to thank our fine folks over at Sweet Sweat for all your exercise and supplement needs. That's Sweet Sweat at SweetSweat.com. For Mike, for myself, for Scott the Huff, we thank you so much, and we'll be back with you after Championship Weekend.